Today on Focal Point, a perspective shift from Mike Fabares.
Just recognize this, no matter what's going on in your life, God loves you thoroughly and completely. Why? Because you're a part of the kingdom of the Son He loves. That's not based on my income, my paycheck. It's not based on my health. It's not based on my marriage. It's not based on how well my kids behave. It is not based on anything but the work of Christ. So therefore, I am completely loved. Deal with it. I mean, you're loved.
Noticed how we're naturally prone to complain? Ask someone how they're doing, and they'll probably air some grievance or other. Chat with your coworkers around the water cooler, and what's the topic of discussion? More often than not, complaints. Well, today on Focal Point, Pastor Mike Fabares urges us to shift our perspective and focus on our blessings. It's a needed reminder from Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. Pastor Mike titled this message, Three Reasons to Be Really Thankful.
Now, regardless of the ebb and flow and the circumstances of our lives, if you're a Christian, there's a lot to be thankful for. And I know the problem isn't that we have nothing to be thankful for. The problem is often that we don't focus our minds on what there is to be thankful for. Paul is trying to teach us, by way of example in his prayer in Colossians chapter 1, how we can be constantly focused on the goodness of God and constantly be expressing with our mouth thanksgiving to God. Look at the passage with me in Colossians chapter 1. No matter how bad your circumstances are, no matter how good, no matter how trying, no matter how troubling your circumstances, you've always got these three things to be thankful for. Look at them. Three verbs. The first one's found in verse number 12. Because he has qualified us. He's qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. Now, two key words there worth circling, and we'll talk about them. The two words are share and inheritance. In the wilderness wanderings, as the Israelites wandered around in the wilderness, they were promised an inheritance. And every single Israelite was promised to have a share in the inheritance. The description of the promised land was called Israel's inheritance, a place flowing with milk and honey. A wonderful place. Your mat will be exchanged for a bed. This manna will be exchanged for good meals, steak, and you're going to have vegetables and fruits and all kinds of food you've never even experienced. All of that is waiting for you when you cross the Jordan River and you get to this place called the Promised Land. I put it this way in your outline if you're taking notes. Number one, you and I have reason to thank God. We should thank God. We ought to constantly thank God for, number one, where you're going. You need to be thankful. God, I am going to a place that is so much better than this place. Whatever fulfillment I might have had from my manna sandwich today is going to be a whole lot better when I have a meal in the Promised Land. God is going to fulfill all of what your heart desires in a perfect place. If you're a Christian, that's what He has in store for you. Just wait till God gets involved in trying to meet your needs. It's going to be fantastic, and our focus needs to be. Now, some of you look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about because we don't spend enough time thinking about this. We tried to a few weeks back, try to focus beyond our horizon. Put your hope there. Think about it every day. It will be real. You will not be some translucent, naked, you know, angel floating around with wings and halos and with harps and, you know, going through these cotton ball clouds. That is not your destiny. If you are a Christian, your destiny is in a real, tangible place. Get excited about that. And today, start thanking Him for it. Why? Because it's not a hope. It's not something you cross your fingers for. The word that He uses back in Colossians 1 is, you have been qualified for this. Qualified. You are already in it. It's like when you get a gift certificate. You ever get a gift certificate and someone gives you a gift certificate? Do you ever say thank you for the gift certificate? Now, why would you say thank you for a gift certificate? You haven't been given anything but a piece of paper. Right? You haven't gotten anything. It may be, you know, some nice gift certificate. Right? Have this great dinner. There it is, $70 gift certificate. Now, that's a wonderful thing, and it's worthy to say thank you, even though it's not a meal. See? It's not roast lamb or whatever it is. It's just a piece of paper, but it's a guarantee of what you're going to get. And if you have any sense at all, you'll say thank you because you've been qualified for this. You don't know what heaven is like yet, but you're qualified. And I love the words that the Jewish mindset throws out to talk about the consummation of all this. He calls it a kingdom of light. It's all about the inheritance with the saints in light. You see, the Jews, and particularly in the Dead Sea Scrolls, if you've read any of that, there's so much talk about the light. We're the sons of the light. The light in Jewish typology is this picture of the consummation of everything good. Even in the New Testament, Paul says in 1 Timothy 6, he says, you know, God dwells in unapproachable light. Everything good is bound up in light. Now, the idea of our consummate fulfillment is all bound up in that place. Start thinking about that more. Celebrate his grace by saying thanks for what you don't yet have. Say thanks for where you're going. Verse 13, he has not only qualified us for something great, he has rescued us from something bad. He has come in and swooped in and he has saved us. And that's the problem. We use words like saved today and we don't even think about what that means. What does it mean to be saved? Saved, it begs an object. Saved from what? Well, in this passage, it's described as the dominion of darkness. We have been rescued, plucked out of the dominion of darkness. Well, if light characterizes the ultimate consummation and fulfillment of people, then darkness, the antonym of that, the antithesis of it, is obviously something like darkness. And the Jews love to use that terminology to talk about the absence of everything good. You see, the problem is that when people reject God, when they take the only means of salvation, Jesus Christ, and they say, I'm not interested, then God says, fine. At the end of the road, after his common grace has been spent on this sinful world, he says, fine, you don't want me. I pack up my goods and all my gifts and I go. If we don't get the qualification to go to this place called heaven, he says, fine. And darkness is the vacuum of his grace. There's nothing left. And at the end of life, when people cross the threshold from this life into eternity, if they do not respond to the gospel, they go to a place of darkness where God takes all of his gifts and all of his presence, and he says, fine then. And it's a place of, it's not partying with a lot of loud rock music, you know, with a lot of friends smoking pot and hell. That ain't hell. Hell is a place where you sit in utter darkness alone without any grace of God, separated completely from everything good, in utter and total darkness and silence. There you go. And that's where we were headed. And if you're a real Christian, you understand that. When you're a real Christian, you look in the mirror and you wipe your brow and you say, whew, I'm not going there by the grace of God. And if you really want to put it in the right term, I'm not going there by the mercy of God. You and I need to thank God for what we're missing. What we're missing is utter godlessness, utter hopelessness, a place where he is not. We are missing all of that by the mercy of God. You and I need to think about it more often. Praise God, I'm qualified for that place. I have an inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light, and I've been rescued from the dominion of darkness. There's one more verb in our passage, Colossians chapter 1. Middle of verse 13, he says, the third reason we ought to be joyfully giving thanks to the Father is because he's brought us. We are now in a kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He has brought us into a place. Now he's not talking about future. He's not talking about what he's delivered us from in the future or now. He's talking about what we have now. We have been brought into a kingdom, and it's a kingdom now. And in that kingdom now, we have lots of things, and he mentions a few. And one of the important things he mentions, well, you might not catch because it seems to just be lost in the verbiage of this. It says, into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Now that means so much. That phrase is so important. Don't miss it. We need to be thankful for what God has brought us into and what we have now. If you're taking notes, number three, you and I need to thank God for what we've got, what we have presently, what we have now. Now think this through. When it says of the Son he loves, why is that so important? I mean, he's talking about how God loves the Son. I know, but that's the only reason we get loved. You see, that is the only reason we get love. Think of it this way. When it says we've been brought into the kingdom of the Son he loves, that's like saying that you and I are living in a Seattle suburb and we are kids. Let's just say that. We're a bunch of little kids, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. And we meet a little girl named Jennifer Gates. And it just so happens that we get invited to Jennifer Gates' birthday party. It is her big birthday gala. I mean, it is gonna be big. It's no bounce house and pizza party. This is going to be the party of her life. And her dad, Bill, is just enamored, just so focused on the love. I mean, he would do anything. I mean, Bill is wrapped around Jennifer's little finger. And dad says, I'm throwing you a party, girl. Oh man, it's gonna be the party of your life. And you can invite your friends from school, and we're the friends from school, right? Now, do you think it'd be a good thing the day we get the invite to go to Jennifer Gates' party? Now, you know Bill is pretty rich, right? Bill's worth, stock prices this week, he's worth about $77 billion, okay? So when he throws a party, like I said, it ain't pizza. This is gonna be huge. Now, you get an invite to Bill Gates' daughter's birthday party, you know you're in for good things. You will be lavished with some wonderful things. Why? Because Bill Gates is enamored with you? No, he didn't care about you. Not really. He cares about you insofar as he cares about his daughter. He wants you to have a good time because he wants his daughter to have a good time. He will lavish his love on you because he's so enamored with his daughter. Do you see? The party's for the daughter. You're an invited guest. And because you're an invited guest, you get treated like royalty. You get to go to the party of your life. The Bible says that you and I have been brought into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. That is so critical because it dispels all the myths that so many Christians deal with as it relates to the love of God in their own life. They struggle thinking it's about them and God. It is not about you and God. It's about God and Christ. You see, I am not loved by God today because I just happen to be lovable or because I'm having a pretty good day and God ought to like me today. Because I'm living pretty righteous. Yesterday, not so good. Today, better. So God, I know you'll love me more today than you did yesterday. That's nonsense in the scripture because the scripture teaches us we are part of a kingdom of the Son he loves. And the point is, I am loved and I get the lavished love and grace of God because of Christ. Ephesians 1 makes this really clear, and it's probably worth looking at. Let's look at it. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 5, right across the way there. Ephesians 1, it says in verse 5, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons. Now you get phrases like this all over the Bible all the time. Through Jesus Christ. Why? Because it's all about Christ. In accordance with the pleasure of his will. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in, note it, the one he loves. See, it's about the one he loves. We talk about being loved as part of the body of Christ. We're loved as a part of the body of Christ because guess who the head is? Christ. You see, God loves me with an unalterable love, with a never ceasing love, with a love that could not be any deeper. And I'm brought into that kind of party because he loves his son so much. That's why Jesus can say to us, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. That's why the God of the Old Testament could say to Israel in Jeremiah 31 verse 2, he said, I love you with an everlasting love. That's why in Romans chapter 8, he can say neither height nor depth nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things past, angels, you name it, or any created thing. Nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. What's the point? I am loved and I have a love that will never change that comes from God because of Christ. That's why that phrase in Colossians 1 is so helpful to me because I'm used to people's fickle love, aren't you? I mean, people, they love me more one day because I did good. And the next day, they don't love me quite as much because I didn't do so good. And this is what I'm used to based on my performance. Christ has done everything perfectly. The Father loves the Son perfectly. There's no ever taking away of the love of the Father to the Son. And the good thing is I got invited to the party. And so I'm loved. And I am lavished all the gifts and all the benefits and all the pleasures of the Father because I'm a part of the kingdom of the Son he loves. Man, I want to be close to Christ. Because when I'm close to Christ, there's nothing better in my relationship with God than to be connected with Christ. That's why Paul uses the phrase over and over and over again, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. There is no condemnation in Christ. We'll never be separated from the love of God in Christ. God loves his Son. And that means this, that no matter what's going on in my life, no matter how bad it is, no matter how bad this week is, this month is, this year is, I am loved. And I can't be loved any more than I am. And I can never have anybody take that away from me. Nothing can separate me from that because the Father loves the Son. Just recognize this, no matter what's going on in your life, God loves you thoroughly and completely. Why? Because you're a part of the kingdom of the Son he loves. And he will never stop loving the Son. That's a good thing. That's what I have right now. That's not based on my income, my paycheck. It's not based on my health. It's not based on my friends, not based on my marriage, not based on how well my kids behave. It is not based on anything but the work of Christ. So therefore, I am completely loved. Deal with it. I mean, you're loved. You're part of a party thrown for the Son. Thank God we were invited. Thank God we were made qualified. Thank God we were rescued from what we deserve. Thank God that we were brought into this party. Oh, I haven't consummated the entire reality of the kingdom of God. I haven't enjoyed all the pleasures of the future promised land. But you know what? I do experience right now the love of God. I know what that's about. He goes on to delineate a little bit more. He says, you want to know what else you have? You want to know more about this kingdom you've been brought into? He says, it's through Christ that you have this redemption, in whom we have the redemption. And then he gets real specific. I want to talk about what aspect of the redemption I want to tell you about. It's the redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now, you put those two things together, that I'm loved and forgiven. That's huge. Now, you know what? Most of the world's problems are based on guilt. Do you realize that? They recognize that in some way, though they seek to deny it, that they are guilty. The great thing is, look at me. I am not guilty. See, I'm a sinner, but I'm not guilty. You know, I've done wrong, but I am innocent. Why? What are you saying? How audacious a statement to say, I'm innocent. I'm fully innocent. I'm innocent because I got invited to the party. And I am qualified in Christ, and I am rescued from the dominion of darkness, and I've been brought into a party thrown for the Son, and in that love, I have full forgiveness, complete forgiveness. And there's no purgatory in my future. There's no condemnation in my future. There is nothing but God's blessed joy and grace and mercy and compassion is going to be poured out on me. What an arrogant thing to say. No, it's not arrogant. I have my identity fully bound up in Christ. And if I sit around this Thanksgiving and dare to complain, I am a fool because in Christ I have love and I have forgiveness. And those two things should drive my life every day into saying, God, thanks. Thank you. If we celebrate His grace in the first point, His mercy in the second point, as the writer of Psalm 103 says, when we have all this wonderful forgiveness and love, we ought to be celebrating His compassion. What a compassionate, loving God we have to give us these things. As a matter of fact, let's look at one last passage, Psalm 103. As the psalmist puts it this way, in verse number 1, he starts talking to himself. I mean, here's a good psalm for it. Here's the psalmist starts talking to himself about the need for him to thank God and praise God for how good God has been. Here's what he says, Psalm 103, verse 1. Praise Yahweh, oh my soul. He's talking to himself. All my inmost being, praise His holy name. Wake up. And that's what we need to say to ourselves. You better thank God. Be filled with praise. Praise Yahweh, it says, verse 2, oh my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Don't forget anything He's done for you. The first thing on His list, look at it, who forgives all your sins. Do you recognize that every sin you've ever had been nailed to the cross, fully forgiven? He heals all your diseases, redeems your life from the pit. You've been rescued. And He crowns you, first point, with love and compassion. What a wonderful celebration what we have. He satisfies us, and then here's the gravy. If you got anything tangibly good in your life, He satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. What a wonderful thing we have. You and I have an inheritance. Thank God for where you're going. You got a membership to the greatest thing in the universe. It's called the New Jerusalem. Thank God for what you've been spared from. You've been spared and rescued from hell. And praise God for what you have. And when I say that, I'm not talking about your house and your property and your cars. Talking about the fact that you are loved and fully forgiven. You know, it's not just bookstores that help our culture complain. Came home from the bookstore and turned my computer on, and just for fun, I typed in complaints.com. Do you think that came up? You bet it did. Full service site, teach you how to complain right. So I did another search. I started searching for sites that would help you complain. Came across one. It's fun. Look it up. Ecomplaints.com. Really help you complain. Help you be a great complainer. Ecomplaints.com. And what I liked about this site is it gave you some examples. Here's what it said. Red letters, front page. It said this. It said, your bags arrive in Cleveland without a scratch. The only problem is you're in Miami. You finally got out of the airport to find your rental car company has put you in a Yugo. And then underneath in big, bold red letters, it says, you want retribution? You want heads to roll? And then it's like, you know, we're here to help. And their site, full service site to help you complain about those things. Now, what was great about reading this and soaking this in is that when I read this, it's true, literally, I went from reading the computer screen and just kind of laughing at that, and then I went to my library and I looked in my bookshelves. And I started looking through my bookshelves, and I found a book that recorded the words from the diary of Matthew Henry. Some of you recognize that name, Bible commentary from the late 1600s, the 1700s. He wrote a big one-volume Bible commentary. Matthew Henry's diary, here's a godly man filled with thanksgiving. The antithesis of the world's ideas of what it means to, you know, make heads roll. He had just, in his diary, the day before, had his house completely ripped off. And if you've ever, you know, had that experience, it means a complete feeling of violation. If there's ever a time to want to see heads roll, it's then, right? Here was his entry in his diary the next day after his house was completely ripped off. You want to hear it? Are you ready? Here's what he says. He says, oh, today, let me be thankful. You got to kind of search for things to be thankful for in your house. Here's what he says. And the first one's a little bit strange. He says, first, God, I want to thank you because I've never been robbed before. Okay, it's a good start, right? The only time I've ever been robbed. It's not twice. It's not the third time. It's the first time. Thanks, God. Looking at the bright side. Second, he says, because although they took my wallet, they did not take my life. He says, thirdly, God, I want to thank you today because although they took all I had, it really wasn't that much. Fourth, he said in his diary, God, and this is most profound, he says, I thank you because it was I who was robbed and not I who did the robbing. And in his heart, he could look at something so frustrating, so aggravating, as being the victim of a crime. And he said, you know what? There's a lot here to be thankful for. The antithesis of what I just read on my computer screen. And by the way, I went back to the computer screen and I looked at those words. Your bags arrived in Cleveland without a scratch. The only problem is you're in Miami. And I thought to myself, yeah, but you landed safely in Miami, didn't you? You know, you're complaining about a Yugo, poor guy. A lot of people have to walk and take the bus. And I'm thinking, what is the problem with the Christian church if we can't learn to be the complete opposite of the world, so full of grumbling and complaining? You guys, think of where we're going. Think of what we're missing and think about what we have in Christ. I don't care if your house gets ripped off or you get stuck in a Yugo at the rental car company. You and I are loved and forgiven, and that's worth celebrating. Let's pray. God, help us to be people that thank you. I know there is so much that we can look at if we just spend time and effort directing our attention beyond the horizon of this world. We can thank you that heaven has been secured and that hell has been canceled on our account. And that, God, more than that, right now, the part of the kingdom that has been realized, we are fully loved, fully accepted, fully redeemed, and fully forgiven. God, things can go bad in life, but if that is a sure thing, it is an anchor of hope in my life that will transform my attitude and disposition. God, forgive me. Forgive us as a church for having an attitude of complaining and grumbling. God, we need a whole lot less of that. Matter of fact, it needs to be extracted from our personalities. And we need to be people that are so frequently thanking you that people turn their heads and think, what's with those people? They're constantly thanking their maker for their lives and what God has given them. Help us to do that, not just about the tangible things in life, because those come and those go and those things change. But God, help us to pin our hopes on where we're going, what we're missing, and what we have in Christ. Those things, they never change. God, forgive us, and I can't pray this without asking your forgiveness for our people having all these wonderful things and failing to thank you. God, if there have been days this week when we haven't brought to you a prayer of thanksgiving, then we're in error. It's a problem. Heaven must be appalled. Angels must gasp when they watch people so blessed as us, so benefited by the love and forgiveness of Christ, go through an entire day without saying thanks. God, forgive us for that. Fill us with joyful thanksgiving to the Father who's qualified us, who's rescued us, and who's brought us into this great kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Some solid reasons to give thanks, not just on Thanksgiving, but all year round. You're listening to Focal Point, the Bible teaching ministry of pastor and author Mike Fabares. Today's message is part of a much larger study in the book of Colossians, and you can catch up on previous messages, download your favorites, or access the interactive worksheet to go along with each study. All these options are available free of charge thanks to support from listeners like you. We love that people around the world are exploring the depths of Scripture with us each day. But we could never have that kind of reach without donations from faithful listeners who believe in the mission and give generously and sacrificially to magnify the impact. We're so grateful. As you've been strengthened and equipped through this ministry, will you partner with us today? Here's the number to call, 888-320-5885. Or go to focalpointradio.org. And when you give, we'll express our thanks with an informative resource called The Ultimate Guide to Defend Your Faith by Doug Powell. You know, many Christians want to be more vocal about their faith, but hold back because they fear they don't know enough or don't have the right answers. Well, if that resonates with you, you'll definitely want a copy of this book. Doug Powell lays out clear, logical arguments for the existence of God, the reliability of the Bible, and the truth of the gospel. And again, it's our way of expressing our thanks. Ask for The Ultimate Guide to Defend Your Faith when you give today by calling 888-320-5885 or by going to focalpointradio.org. Or if you prefer to send your gift in the mail, our address is Focal Point, Post Office Box 2850, Laguna Hills, California, 92654. Well, I'm your host, Dave Drewy, inviting you back again Wednesday for another study in the book of Colossians. We'll be talking about the miracle of the Incarnation as we look ahead to the coming Christmas season. We'll explore the question of Jesus' identity and the implications. If Jesus is truly the Creator, that changes everything. So be sure to join us right here Wednesday on Focal Point.
Pastor Mike here. You know, it's an honor to be with you every day, helping you explore the depths of Scripture. But I want to be clear, no amount of Bible knowledge is ever going to save you. Be sure where you stand with God. get in touch with us. We'd love to pray with you and for you. Visit us today at focalpointradio.org. We look forward to hearing from you.
Today's program was produced and sponsored by Focal Point Ministries.